Sure is a blessing to be here, isn't it? And it's good to see folks that we hadn't seen for a while. And last time I was here, I told them that I wish they'd give Brother Joe a vacation so I could come and back and fill in for him. But I didn't mean for you just to get rid of him. But it's a real blessing to be back at East Sly. I've had some of the best times of my life right here. For 16 years, I've enjoyed it so much. And it's good to come back on homecoming. Because I know you ladies can cook. Brother Jesse, it's good to get in on some of this good old East Sly Avenue home cooking. Amen. So it's good to see the Sapp family back here. And would y'all stand? Oh, stand up there and let me... Sure. Amen. Thank you. Thank you so much. Good to have you here with us. And it's good to have Miss Louise's daughter from Nashville, Tennessee. She's not on the Grand Ole Opry, but she lives in Hendersonville. That's just outskirts of Nashville. So she's been down visiting with us for a few days, and it's always good to have visitors because you get a little extra cooking done, you know, when you have company come in. Don't you like that, Mickey? Amen. I used to like for the preacher to come to my mom and daddy's house until the preacher got to eat first. And what was left was a neck and a backbone. Just didn't get much. And so I wasn't too fond of the preachers coming when they did me that way. But it's a real joy to be here today, and we're looking forward to the fellowship over at the fellowship hall. But I want you to open your Bible today to the 16th chapter of the book of Matthew. You know, I thought about several things that I could preach on. But I was looking around and I saw several hats that some of the ladies were wearing. I like that. I'm glad you ladies are getting back to wearing hats to church. If you ever go down to Jamaica, I've been down there, all the women wear hats down there. No lady goes to church without wearing a hat. I started to tell you a while ago, I've had a lot of fun here. And one of the things that I've been reminded, do you want to say something? I didn't know it. Oh, that's all right. You can stand up all the time if you want to. You don't have to sit down. Come up here and hold me up if you want. I remember, I don't know if any of you remember, a lady used to come to church here. Her name was Minnie. What was her last name? That's it, many shores. I couldn't put it together there, what you're saying. The battery went dead in my hearing aid, and I wasn't hearing good. Minnie was sitting on this second seat from the front. She was in her 80s. And somebody came in and sat down where Brother Chris's dad's sitting. And I was up here on the front. If I'd have had good sense, I'd have walked around the end of the pew and shook the people's hand. And you probably would have done the same thing, but I was never thought about it, so I just reached over Minnie's head to shake hands with the people that was on the third row. I reached over her head to shake hands with her. And when I brought my arm back, my button caught in her wig. And I brought it back with me. Boy, if she didn't give me a piece of her mind, I'm telling you, she got so mad. I've had a lot of people that got mad at me over things like that. I was in another church where I was at, and I was back at the door. I always went back to the door and shook hands with everybody that went out if they had time. I said, now, if you've got time, I've got to shake. But if you don't have time to shake, there's a door over there, and a door over here, and a door at different places. And so there's a lady come out, and I stuck my hand out to shake hands with her. She said, I ain't a shaking hands with you. I thought she was joking for a minute, but she didn't smile, laugh, or nothing. And I knew she was serious. And she went on out of the car. Her daughter was coming back behind her. And I said to the daughter, do you know what's wrong with Sister Stewart? And she said, don't worry about it. Said, just somebody said something to her. Oh, I said, no, I got to get this thing fixed. She wouldn't shake my hand when I went out. And she said, well, I'll tell you what happened. She said there was somebody told her that you said she looked better going than she did coming. Now, I never said that, but I did think it. And I went out there to the car after she'd gotten the car, and I said, I just am very, very sorry that somebody told you this thing. And I'm sorry, but I didn't never say nothing like that. I would never say that to somebody. And so she never did believe me. You got to be careful what you say to people. But I never did, I wouldn't say nothing about like that to nobody. And I felt terrible about it. That somebody had told her something like that. you know, she was in her 80s back then, and that was in the 60s. And I think she was still living up until about 5 years ago. Boy, she lived a long life. But I want you to open your Bible to the book of Matthew, chapter 16 and verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist. Some say that others say that you're Elias. Or some say you are Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." And he said unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." You notice what he said there. I will build my church. This is his church. And he says, "The gates of hell shall not prevail against it." That's saying the devil's not going to take over the church. And I'm glad of that. And he said to Peter, "I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." And I want to stop reading there. You can read the rest of that chapter when you get a chance. But Jesus gave Simon Peter the keys to the kingdom. He used them twice. He used them on the day of Pentecost. And then he used it when the Gentiles heard the gospel message and got saved. The Jews heard it on the day of Pentecost, and over there in Acts chapter 10, the Gentiles heard the gospel message. And that's when you and I got in. And so I'm glad I can tell you today that the church is the product of the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm glad of that. It's very important to our Lord, and when we get saved, we become a part of the church, the body of Christ. The Bible said, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body." You see, I got the Holy Spirit the day I got saved by the grace of God, and so did everyone else that got saved. And so Jesus loves the church. And you and I ought to love the church. A lot of people don't love the church. They think that, well, the preacher's just interested in getting their money or something like that. Well, I'm going to tell you, Jesus Christ loved the church. And the Bible said he gave himself for it. And I'm glad that I can tell you today that because he loved the church, I love the church. You ought to love the church. We ought to love everything that God loves, and we ought to hate everything that God hates. And so, I'm glad that I got saved. And so what does our Lord desire of the church? What does Jesus desire of this church? That's what I want to talk about for a little bit. And we ain't got no roast that's burning, are we? No beans that's sticking. So we just, you want me to preach till I get through? Oh, okay. I was aiming to, but I heard a preacher say the other day, he said, how many of you give me 10 more minutes? And several raised their hand all over the house. He said, 10, 20, 30. So I'll not do you that way, though. But I want to say, what does Jesus desire of the church? What does he want out of this church? What does he want out of our lives as Christians today? So I want to deal with that for just a little while. And first of all, he wants the church to be empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. I'm going to tell you something. If the church doesn't have the Holy Spirit of God in the service, it's as dead as a hammer. It'll never be anything unless the Holy Spirit of God takes over the service. You know, I've been in services where even here, when the choir get to singing and special numbers would get to people, get to singing, and somebody getting under conviction and come down to the altar and get saved, and somebody else would come, and first thing you know, there'd be a half a dozen people that had come and made decisions for Christ, and I had a sermon left over. Well, I want to tell you, brother, somebody said, well, you don't want to let the thing get out of hand. I'm going to tell you today, the service will never be worth anything to anybody until it gets out of our hands and gets in God's hands. And so the Holy Spirit must empower the service. You got to have God's power in order to reach souls for Jesus Christ. And then secondly, he wants us to be a witness in people. He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's commended of us, and God tells us to do that. And so he said, go out there and be a witness. Be a witness in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And I'm telling you this morning, friend of mine, God wants us to be a witness in people. Oh, you say, Brother Ray, I don't like to do that. I don't like to, I get mixed up with the scripture. You don't even have to give them a lot of scripture. If you can quote John 3:16, and anybody ought to be able to do that if they're saved. I wouldn't even use a songbook. I sort of believe people that have to have a songbook to sing Amazing Grace is half backslid anyway. That ought to be the national anthem, shouldn't it? Amen, Brother Ray. I'm telling you, there's something wrong with people when we're not going to witness. I carry these little tracts around, mainly because they got my picture on. No, that's not the reason I do that. Somebody said, I know why you give those out. It's got your picture on it. Well, that picture's 15 or 20 years old, and you wouldn't know that by looking at it, but I'm telling you, I give these out. When I go to a restaurant and going to leave a tip, don't never leave a track with my name on it if you don't leave a decent tip. Or they'll think you're a tightwad, whether you are or not. Probably are if you don't give a tip. But he wants us to be a witness in people. He wants us to tell others about. You say, what can I tell people, Brother Ray? You can tell people what Jesus has done for you. Tell them that one day you was a lost sinner and you got heard the gospel and you got saved by the grace of God. That'll get the job done. I'm saying we need to be a witnessing people. And then thirdly, he wants us to go forth, give forth the message of truth. You know, we've got the truth right here. You don't have to be embarrassed to give out the truth. He said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And I'm glad, thank God, that I heard the truth one day. And brother, I got saved by the grace of God, and I'm saved, been saved ever since then. Now we need to know the truth about, first of all, about sin. Brother, sin is a terrible thing. Sin will send your soul to a devil's hell if you don't get saved by the grace of God. We need to learn the truth about sin. Sin will wreck your lives. Sin will destroy. That's what's wrong with America tonight. It's because we have forgotten about what sin is all about. Sin is destroying this country. The liquor crowd, the cussing crowd, the crowd that lives in sin and commits adultery and fornication and all the things that's going on in the world today. I'm telling you today, my friend, that's the thing that's destroying our nation today. We need to know the truth about sin. And then we need to know the truth about salvation. I'm glad I heard the truth. My mom and daddy took me to church. And I heard a fellow say the other day, he said he had a drug problem when he was a kid. He said his mama drug him to church. Praise God for that. Huh? A lot more of us people ought to have been drugged to church and made sit there. I used to sit across from where my mother was, and she was facing me. And there's an old boy in the church who was mean as a devil. And he'd sit behind me, and he'd get a hold of the back of my hair and pull it up like that. And I'd look at my mother, and she'd do this. You know what I done? I sat there and let him pull my hair. Because Mama shook her head no. And I didn't want to get the peach tree tea when I got home that day. I'm simply saying to you today, we need to know what salvation is. We need to know how we got saved. I heard the gospel. I heard the word of God, and brother, I'm telling you, I got none to conviction, and when I got none to conviction, I got saved by the grace of God, and that was 71 years ago, and it's still working today.
Amen.
You got anything better than that? Bring it on. If you can't top that, I'm going to keep this.
Amen.
Amen. And I'm telling you, I heard the truth. A lot of people never heard the truth. A lot of people never, they walked down the aisle and the preacher put his empty hand on their empty head. And brother, they thought they got saved. I'm going to tell you, brother, if you hadn't gotten under conviction and felt that you was a sinner, lost without God, I tell you, you need to come back and get another dip, and I'm not talking about brooding. I heard the word of God. Jesus said in his word that for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. None of us is good. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned unto our own ways, and the Bible said the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And I got none to conviction. You know what? I got saved, and it's still working today. This little head nodding, perfume squirting, back scratching, ear tickling preaching going on across our countryside, like a fellow by the name of Joel. I'm telling you, there's something wrong with preaching like that. They asked him if he preached against sin. He said, "No, I don't do that." He said, "Why? I wouldn't want to hurt nobody's feelings. I want to make people feel good." Well, you don't make them feel good by denying that they're sinners. You make them feel good when they hear that there's an answer for their sin today. And Jesus said, "I died on the cross to pay your sin debt." And if you'll get saved by the grace of God, you can go to heaven. But if you don't get saved by the grace of God, you're going to burn in hell forever. We need to get the truth about service. God saved us to serve. We ought to tell others about it. We ought to serve God. I like to see people. You know, a lot of people today, when you ask them to do something in church, they say, "No, I've already served my time." Sound like they've been in the penitentiary and just got out. I hadn't served my time. I've been preaching 56 years. And I'm going to keep on preaching if I can find somewhere to preach. Most places don't want old preachers no more. But if I can't find nobody else to preach to, I'll preach to my wife. We'll just set a chair up there and I'll get me a little platform and I'll preach to her. There'd be nothing wrong with that, would there? Hey, say amen. Don't look at me like a calf looking at a new gate. I believe people ought to say amen if you're telling the truth, don't you say?
Amen.
Boy, now that's the way it's supposed to be. So, We need to know the truth about sin. We need to know the truth about salvation. And we need to know the truth about service. We need to know the truth about the second coming. Boy, I'm glad I believe that. I believe he's coming back again. I don't know when, but I believe it's closer today than it's ever been. Jesus is coming back, and one of these days, he's going to come. Gabriel's going to blow that horn, and brother, we're going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkle of an eye, and caught up to meet Jesus in the air. What a glorious time that'll be. He wants us to give forth the message of truth. That's truth preaching. And I could preach an hour on the second coming, but I'm just can't stay here all day. But I want you to see something else. He wants us to be straight on our doctrine. Somebody said doctrine don't make no difference. Don't you let none of these here little sissified preachers tell you that doctors don't make no difference. Doctrine. I'm telling you, it does make a difference what you believe. This Bible teaches that when you get saved, you're saved forever. I'm not a holding out. Hanging on. I'm so saved I can swing out over hell on a rotten grapevine. Not have to worry about going to hell. I'm not hanging on. I'm not enduring to the end. I'm resting in the finished work of Calvary tonight. He wants us to be straight on our doctrine. Now I'll tell you something. I heard some of my kin folks the other day. So sickening. Said she had gotten the Holy Ghost and she was speaking in tongues. I said, there's never been any tongues since the day of the apostles. No tongues. You say, what's going on? Just a bunch of jabbering. God ain't in that. What makes people want to latch on? I'll tell you why they do that. They ain't got nothing to start with. If they had something, they wouldn't be searching for something else. I'm telling you today, I'm glad that when I got saved, I got God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. I got it all. And I'm going to tell you, brother, we need to be straight on our doctrine. Don't you let anybody lead you off into something other like that. I used to be on the radio here WHBO, and we lived up here on Hannah, and there was a lady that used to come and visit us. She went to this church up here on the corner of Hannah and Hannah and 30th Street. She said, Brother Ray, I'll tell you, I love your preaching. Well, you ain't going to fight nobody like that. She said, I love your preaching. Said, I listen at you on the radio, and you preach so good. I said, well, I appreciate that, man. And she said, you just lack one thing. Well, I said, tell me what that one thing is. She said, you just need the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Oh, I said, I have that. You want me to speak in tongues for you? She said, you can? I said, yeah. I said, I got a Toyota, but I want a Datsun. She said, oh, you do have it. You have got it. See, that's all people know. They're looking for some kind of a noise or some kind of a jabber, and it ain't got a thing in the world to do with the Word of God. And that lady that just got the Holy Spirit, she said, and with the evidence of speaking in tongues, gets mad at her mama and just cusses her and everything. You see, that ain't scriptural. God said, if you be in Christ, you're a new creature. And I'm glad today that I'm straight on my doctrine. I believe what this Bible teaches. And brother, I'm not trying to prop up somebody's religion. I'm just standing on the Word of God. Amen. Then he wants us to be able to fellowship with our Christian brothers and sisters in Christ. I love every one of you. I don't know of a person. Did you know I don't know of a person that I don't love? Isn't that good? I can't even think of nobody that I don't love. Well, I'm not too fond of Fidel Castro. Not very fond of him. I'd pray for him if he wanted to get saved. There ain't nothing wrong with that. But I don't know of anybody that I don't love. Because God is love. And so we're to love our brothers and sisters in Christ. I don't love these sinners that want you to go out here and commit sins with them. I can't participate with those kind of people. But I do love them, and I'd pray for them, and I'd try to get them saved if they'd listen to the Word of God. But I'm saying today, he wants us to be able to fellowship with our Christian brothers and sisters in Christ. And I love you. Amen. I love all my brothers and sisters. And then he wants us to be a praising church. One, two amens. Amen, Brother Ray. You're preaching the truth. Don't you believe in saying amen? That's praising God. If you want to raise your hand and wave at me, you can do that. That's praising God. He said, I will that men everywhere lift up holy hands unto God without wrath and without doubting. You ought to. I heard a fella called me the other day, and he said, Brother Ray, I hate to tell you this, but he said, we buried our last shouter. It's a little old woman that lived close to the church. Her husband has already died, but she She'd get her, sit over there toward the front, and while the preachers were preaching, while I'd be preaching, she'd get to feeling the presence of the Holy Spirit, and she'd say, "Woo!" And that just made me preach that much harder. You'd be surprised what a amen and maybe a hand wave would do for a preacher that's fighting the devil and having a hard time to deliver the message. You'd be surprised what it would be if you'd just hear, just back him up and say, "Amen, preacher, you're preaching the truth." Poor old Amos. Amos was this lady's husband. When I was pastor, her pastor, she called me and, "Oh, Brother Ray," said, "pray, pray, pray, pray." I said, "Well, who do you want me to pray for, Sister Sullivan?" She said, "They just took Amos to the hospital." "Oh," I said, "I will pray for him." And I said, "I not only pray for him, but I'll go up there." And my wife had taken the car, and she'd went to a beauty shop somewhere to get her hair fixed. And so I started walking out to the beauty shop, running to get my car. And I told my wife, I said, "You just stay there till I get back." I said, "I've got to go to the hospital and see this." So they just took Amos to the hospital. I got up to the hospital. I went to the emergency room, and the doctor was coming out. I said, "Doctor, have you got Amos in there in the emergency room?" And he said, "Yeah, he's in there." I said, "Is he going to make it?" He said, "Yeah, he'll make it." I said, "Did he have a heart attack?" He said, "No." I said, "What happened to him?" Said he went to sleep with a chew of tobacco in his mouth and got strangled on tobacco juice. There I was, wasting all my praying for him. I thought he was really something bad wrong with him. I guess he was if he got strangled on that stuff. But he wasn't about to die. But she didn't know that. She was a good woman. But I'm simply saying that he wants us to fellowship with one another. And then last of all, he wants us to be soul winners. He wants us to win people to God. I'm going to tell you, you got to get people saved. That's the business of the church. A lot of people, they think, well, And I love this church. I love the beauty. Y'all got it just looking great. What was that? Oh, well, that's okay. But you got this church looking great. And I believe churches ought to be the most beautiful building in the community. But the most important thing to God is getting people saved. That's what put Jesus on the cross. That's the reason he died on the cross, was to get people saved. And if we don't get people saved, we're failing to do what God has called us to do.
Amen.
And I know that you love souls. I know you do. And I just pray that you'll be a witness and a fellowshipping and a praising church and a church that's winning the lost to Christ. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, I don't know if there's anybody here today that's lost. But I want to ask you, if you're here in this house and you're not sure, absolutely, 100% sure, that you're born again, saved by the grace of God, would you raise your hand? Would you put up your hand? Let me see it. Take it back down. I'll know that you want to be remembered in prayer. Is there one person like that? Anywhere. I wonder if there's anybody that would say, Brother Ray, I've been saved. I know I've been saved. But I've sort of slipped, and I'm not walking as close to God as I once did. And preacher, pray that I'll get closer to God. Would you slip up that hand? God bless you, sir. Another one? God bless you, sir. Is there another? God bless you. Is there another one? Brother Ray, I've been saved. I know I'm saved. But I've just let God down, and I'm not walking as close to God as I once did. Pray for me. Would you let me pray for you? If that's your condition today, slip up that hand. Let me see it. Take it right back down. God bless you, sir. Father, I want to thank you for this good day. What a joy it's been to fellowship at East Sly Avenue Baptist Church. Lord, it's a blessing to be here with people that we've known for many, many years and love and appreciate and thank God for their life. Thank God for their faithfulness and their stickability. Lord, they just stick by the stuff and just serve God and live for God. Lord, just continue to keep your hand upon this place. Lord, I know the devil would like to shut the doors and close the doors and Lord, just put it out of business. But we believe, Lord, that you're still here and you still got work and souls to be saved right here in this place. So, Lord, bless these that raise their hand today. Lord, that at one time was walking closer to God than they are now. I pray the Holy Spirit will deal with their heart and help them to see their need of a Savior and walking with God in a way that would please you. I pray and ask it in Jesus' precious name.